young man hanging there. In time when I've run to his house and his wife and asked them to help me. And they did. There's been times when I've nowhere to go to. And this man has run somebody else and said, please take this young man. And isn't it great joy? Tonight he can come to this place and bless us with the word of God. A businessman. A man who knows the scriptures, a man of prayer. And you cannot be the same when you listen to what he has got to say. Stand up now and give Jesus Christ a hand clap for Anthony.
Hallelujah, Father, hallelujah. We again thank you for the presence, the sweet aroma, the fragrance of the Holy Ghost, Father, and we ask you to come right now and just calm the tradition outside, Father. They're coming now and here and here and here and here and listen and hearken to the word of God, Father. We say every spirit that's contrary to the spirit of the living God, we say be driven out. We speak calm and peace now to the situation, Father. We speak the peace, 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 the peace of Jesus on the situation now, Father. We pray the peace, 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 the peace of Jesus on the situation, Father. Thank you, my God. 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 Thank you, Father. But I'm very glad to be here. I'm glad that my dear friend, my good friend Victor, known him for a long, long, long time. We have experienced all kinds of experiences. We know what it is to be in abject poverty. We also know what it is to be in abundant prosperity. God has raised us from the miry clay and lifted us up. He has honored us and exalted us. Nothing to do of our own making, but the work of the Holy Ghost. I love the name, the Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, I speak about the Holy Ghost. What is done in my life, Victor's life, we can speak to you day after day. I tell my friends, I tell my wife, and tell my children, there's one complaint I haven't got, brethren. I've got no complaint against God. He's been extremely good to us, extremely faithful to us. But before I start preaching and proclaiming and teaching the word, you see, I do know all of you all. You don't know me. I know Victor, I know his wife, but you're going to get to know me. Now do we get to know each other? Through the word, because the Holy Ghost, my brother, who is richly, richly dwelt within you, also richly dwelt within me. So when you and I are united in the Holy Ghost, then miracles and signs and wonders operate. It's the word, 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 the word of the Holy Ghost. It will bring us into unity. And we declare and proclaim the word. We'll be united, we'll love one another. And when they see the love of God dwelling within us, that's when the fruit is manifested. And where there is love, and where there is anointing, the presence of Jesus, they'll come from the north, they'll come from the south, they'll come from the east, and they'll come from the west. We don't need an evangelist. They'll be drawn. So, before I start preaching, I want you to confess the word. But I made life easy for you all, brethren. I've done all the homework, right? And I was in Malaysia and Singapore recently. They confessed the same scriptures that you are going to confess. And when you confess the word, and when it's spoken under the unction of the anointing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I expect your life to be transformed. Because it's the word, you see, that brings forth the deliverance. I know a lady down there. Jesus needs a word, one word to set her free. We don't need to labor hours and hours for a person's freedom, because Jesus Christ has set us free and set me free. Okay? The Word, remember Jesus said, He is the Word, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The centurion came to Jesus and said, don't come to my home, just speak the Word. Isaiah 55, the Word will not come back empty. So you see, when I speak the Word, you know, like a radio wave, like a television, when you put television on, see the waves coming, you pick up the waves, don't you? So when you speak the Word of God, it's in the airwave. It produces something. Jesus always spoke the Word. And when you and I speak the Word, it's got to produce something. Okay? So here we go. So you pass this around, brethren. We'll see how we will speak. And by the way, Dan, can you just give me some a bit of gentle music, could you, if you can? So I want you all to proclaim the Word, and when you proclaim the Word, I want you to speak with some conviction, right? With some conviction. And I tell you why I want you all to speak with some conviction. Because the statistics in the United Kingdom, brethren, is very dismal. Right? Listen to this. In the UK, 1 in 32,000 will die of AIDS. 1 in 30 will be affected with cancer. That's a frightening figure. One in 20 will suffer from severe depression. And in the UK, which we refer to as a civilized developed nation, 1 to 2 will die from abuse. Children under 5 years old will die of abuse and neglect. There's only one hope, brethren. You and I must be the ambassador of hope. And you cannot be an ambassador of hope if you haven't got the anointed Word within you all. So when you go and see somebody, you must be so full and overflowing and immersed and saturated with the anointed Word that you go, one word of the Holy Ghost will set the oppressed free. One word of the Holy Ghost will set the depressed free. So that means you and I have got to cover us by the blood of Jesus. You and I have got to be anointed with the Holy Ghost. You and I have got to proclaim the Word. And you and I have got to come to know Jesus intimately. And we've got to come to know the Word intimately, brethren. If not, our lives are in danger. Ephesians 6 verse 13, a time of crisis will come to everybody, to every family, to every individual. A time of crisis will come. You and I will not escape it. But it is the standing and the authority of the Word of God embedded within you that's going to become, make you and me an overcomer. But crisis will come and shall come. It's crisis that's going to fashion us and form us. I asked my friends, you know, and I was in Malaysia, I asked a guy, his wife suddenly got sick, violently got sick. I said, my friend, I said, what is the first thing you did when your wife became sick? He said, I confessed Psalm 91. I asked somebody else, wife just collapsed in front of him, what is the first thing you did? I said, I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. And when crisis came, all foundations collapsed. It was sand. Foundation collapsed in front of him. That's why my wife and my children must pick up the strength and the anointing of the Holy Ghost within me. I tell both my children, Paul and Janine, I expect them to be first in class, and I expect them to scoop all the scholarships. You know why? Because you've got the mind of Christ. And if you've got the mind of Christ, then you've got to excel.
That's right.
Okay? If you have the mind of Christ, you got to excel. I expect both my children to excel, and they are excelling. my son scooped the first prize and won the exhibition. I trained him to speak the word. I trained him how to get the anointing. Okay? Look at my color. Color and culture doesn't make any difference when you're blessed with the mind of Christ. Okay? You go to all class and excel. Because you and I are blessed in the mind of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost richly dwelleth within you. Okay? Okay, let's stand up now. And let's confess the word, okay? Deuteronomy 33 verses 25 and 27. See me, brethren. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. There is no one, the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out the enemy before you. Say, destroy it. Okay, the group down here. Okay, you gotta speak with some, sorry, you gotta speak with some power, brethren. You really gotta speak with some power. Okay? The lady who prayed regarding her children. Yes? You gotta pray with some power. Make it fire. Okay. Come forward. Come join me. You gotta pray with some power. You gotta speak the word with some power, because I don't know when the crisis is gonna come into your life. Right? When the crisis comes, you've got to know the word. Okay? The word will demolish and destroy. Okay? Now your children might fall sick. We got no guarantee. The only guarantee is the word of God. The only guarantee is the anointing. The only guarantee is God expects you to be an overcomer. We shall not fall. We shall overcome. Whatever comes, we shall overcome. But the only way you're going to overcome is the word must richly dwell within you, and it must rise up from within, and you speak it. Okay? You got to speak it. 2 Corinthians 2 verses 14 to 17. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus.
And through us spread everywhere
the fragrance of the knowledge of God.
You are the aroma of Christ
among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, before God, with sincerity, like man sent from God. Okay, brethren, you're doing very well. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 17-19. I want you to put your hands on top of your head, brethren. And where my name is, you proclaim your name, okay? Okay? I tell you something, brethren. Many people will say to you, and they mean well, I pray for you. But don't trust them. Because they might forget. You got to learn to pray for yourself. And when you learn to pray for yourself, you get such an excitement. You see God answering your prayer. Then you such a spirit of spontaneity. You start praying for other people. Okay?
Yeah.
You start praying for yourself first. Start praying for your family first. Okay? And then you start praying for your church. And you start praying for your city. And you start praying for your country. But you got to cultivate the habit of praying. Okay? Ephesians 1 verses 17 to 19. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of angels understanding, being enlightened, that they may know what is hope of their calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of their power. In the last page, brethren. That's why we need the mind of Christ. You see, the daily, the dirty devil and demons and scars and the kingdom of darkness wants to assault you. Right? That's why you put the mind of Christ and have the peace of Jesus Christ in Nazareth. Daily he'll discourage you. daily bring temptation into your life, daily implant fear in you, worry, confusion, doubt, deception, idols, selfish desires, self-fulfillment, unforgiveness, self-love, pride, lust of flesh, covetousness, jealousy, worldly pleasure and envy. Can you see the man's face? He's totally depressed. Because you know why? He hasn't got the mind of Christ. Okay, take a seat, man. Take a seat. So the warfare, brethren, the warfare is intense. Okay? The battle is acute. And the good news is going to get worse. The good news is going to get worse. Right, you know why? As it gets worse, the glory of God and the person, the Holy Ghost dwelling within you has got to go stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So when you walk and you talk, the devil and the kingdom of darkness, like the Apostle Paul, I know Paul, I know Apollos, they'll say, I know Anton. They will say, I know Victor. Leave the guy alone. Because the minute they start attacking you, they're going to get demolished and parked down. But then you got to cultivate. You got to work on becoming a man and a woman of God with dimension and power. And when you get the anointing of God coming upon your life, they'll be drawn towards you, my brother. They'll be drawn towards you. You can't stop them from coming. And all the blessings of God will come your way. You cannot stop the blessing of God coming to a man who is in right standing with the living God. You will get blessed. Your wife will get blessed. Your children will get blessed. And your family will get blessed. I'm reading from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? He or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the Amplified version. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, I love this, remain stable. Okay? The Amplified version, he who dwells in the secret place shall remain stable. He won't fluctuate. You won't be going to and fro. You won't be emotionally unbalanced, but it shall remain stable and fixed. Under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe, no devil, no demon, no man or woman can withstand. But you got to work at it. You got to work at it. A man and a woman can come and pray for you, you can get slain, you only go 1,000 times. But that won't do. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, had an intimate relationship with the Father. He spoke daily to his Father. The first thing you and I got to cultivate is a prayer pattern. So when I first got married, you know, to my wife, Seda, she did not understand me. You know what I used to do? I used to go and lock up my bedroom door with a key. And she would tell me, and she said, why are you locking up? I'm the only one in the house. Why did you lock up the door? It took about 2 years to understand, brethren, that you and I have got to have an intimate relationship with Abba Daddy. So I said, there are two keys in the house, Seda. You can come in anytime. Anytime you come in the door. But I just need to lock the door. Because I want to tell my father I'm in business. That's how I cultivated my prayer a bit, brother. I began to enjoy the prayer. I enjoyed praying. So when I received a phone call from home in Malaysia, my mom was seriously ill. I prepared all these years how to pray. So when a crisis comes, you don't fall, neither do you get shaken. You remain stable and remain fixed. So when we went to Malaysia, listen to this, when I went to Malaysia, I thought God was telling me to go and pray with my mother morning, afternoon, evening. I went to pray with my mum and God said, go and preach the word all over Malaysia. So I went all over Malaysia, in a different state. I went to Penang, I went to Singapore, I went to the east coast of Malaysia, preaching and preaching and preaching the word. Because I was stable and fixed. The time came mum to go, I knew where she was heading for. And all around me, my brothers and sisters were crying. And because the Holy Ghost prepared me, I could comfort them. The word of the Holy Ghost. So remain stable and remain fixed. It only comes to a quality time of praying. No man, woman or God, God will never release you into a big time ministry if you've not got your prayer dimension right. I remember a man of God saying, he used to have big camp meetings. And after a camp meeting, you see many miracles taking place, many signs and wonders. So he came back home, he sat in the bed and said, wasn't God wonderful today? Lots of miracles. But he forgot to pray. Because you see, you gotta be so careful. And this is a very important key, brethren. You gotta be so careful when God is using you. There's no arena for pride. That's why I love the man Derek Prince, you know. He's 80 years old. I've heard Derek Prince for a number of years now. But the last 5 to 7 years, the man's spirit slightly changed. What did I pick up from him? I pick up a tremendous spirit of prayer, and I pick up a tremendous spirit of humility. Every tape I listen to the last 5 years now, I pick up these two things. A dimension of prayer and a tremendous spirit of humility. And that comes when you spend hours praying before the throne room. See, the name of Jesus and the spontaneity of prayer runs in my veins. So wherever I am, the name of Jesus, the word of God just flows out of my mouth. I didn't find that an embarrassment. Because you know why? When you fall in love with somebody, it just comes out of, it just flows within your personality. So brethren, he who dwells, it's a dwelling place. Okay? He who dwells, it's a dwelling place. That means it's your home. You find security in your own home, don't you? When you get back to your own home, you feel secure, don't you? So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look back to Psalm 90, brother. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. My Lord, you have been our dwelling place. I love that. You know, it gives me a picture when my wife was pregnant. Like an egg in an incubator. See, the two babies within my wife's womb were feeling secure in that womb. So when he went to the hospital and saw the scan, and saw a baby within the womb, I got the impression they were enjoying their being in there. They felt secure and nourished. That's what you and I will be. You've got to be within the bosom of the Heavenly Father. El Shaddai. You've got to be incubated within the bosom of the Holy God, of the Almighty Father. So wherever we go, we feel the shadow of God covering us. But how does that come? It comes to a quality of prayer. Psalm 92, verse 10. I have been anointed with fresh oil. And that's why you and I need, brethren, we need fresh oil daily. We need the Holy Ghost to give you a fresh touch. And how do we get that? Look at this, brethren. Psalm 5. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I'll direct it to you, Father. And I'll look up. In the morning, I'll direct my prayer to you, Father. Psalm 5, verse 3. And I will look up. I will not look down. Because God has exalted me in high places, I will look up. Psalm 5 verse 7. But for me, I will come into your halls in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord. 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 God is calling you and I. God is calling His people to intensify their prayer life. It is a matter of survival. Please hear me, brethren. God is calling you and I to intensify our prayer life. On it depends our survival. One day, a well-known pastor in London called my brother and I into his office. He said, come in, I'll talk to you both. So he said, Anthony, he said, he's a well-known man, he's been to Oxford University, he has written a number of books. A good preacher. I heard him preach. A very good preacher. He said, I've listened to your tapes on spiritual warfare, Anthony. I've got some tapes on spiritual warfare. So listen to my tapes. He said, there are a few things I disagree with you. Says it, well, name me some of them. Say name some of them. They disagreed with me regarding spiritual warfare, regarding the devil. So he said, Anthony, do me a favor, he said. I want you to buy my tapes of spiritual warfare and listen to them. I did. So you see, I want to have a teachable spirit. I don't think I got it all. I'm still learning. See, I'm still learning. So I listened to all his tapes. And one of his tapes, listen to this story. He said, in his church, it's a big church, an American evangelist came to his church, brethren. Right? You know, some of the American evangelists, they say, or they want to say in England too, put the devil under your feet and trample him. Remember? Be under my feet, be under my feet, be under my feet. So a few, I think about at least 1,000 Christians are there in this church. So they all in echo said, devil, be under my feet, be under my feet, be under my feet, be under my feet. And this evangelist shouting, he said, be gone from this place, you foul devil. We proclaim Jesus, King of kings, upon this place. All sounds good, isn't it? It sounds good, doesn't it, Victor? It's a prayer. You pray, I pray. This pastor says, the one who disagrees with me, he says, there was a lady who comes to his church for years she's been coming to his church. We happen to stay just a few yards away from the church. And she had a beautiful cat. So while they were shouting, be under my feet, be under my feet, be under my feet, the cat made a very frightening noise. The cat should really frighten this lady. The lady came and complained to the pastor. And the pastor did. Told the American evangelist to come back to the church again. You know what I'll do, you know what Pastor Victor will do? We'll go and cast the spirit out of that cat, won't we? Yes. A good man, brethren, a good pastor. But you see, sadly, he is slightly lacking in understanding who the devil is. You see, when I draw a diagram like this, what the pastor said to me was, don't mention the name of the devil too many times, because you stir him up. But you don't need to stir a dirty devil. I'm confronting him daily, brethren. I'm confronting the devil daily. Because you stand and resist, stand and resist, stand and resist. That is the reason why you and I could have a revelation of the Father God. You could have a revelation. Could have a revelation of the Father God. You could have a revelation of the Father God. He could have a revelation of who Jesus is. He could have an understanding and comprehension of the Holy Ghost is. And he got to come to know your enemies. And once you come to know your enemies, you get the weapons to demolish him. So we don't leave our house as a family without praying, without kneeling down and praying. We don't take any chances. Don't take any chances. A pastor prays for a woman who comes up to him and tells him, look, I'm possessed with demons. So he prays for her. A week later, she comes with a gun and shoots him dead. It's serious business, brethren. Being a pastor is not easy, Victor. Not easy. Yes, you got to, you know. I was just leading a prayer meeting in London. I used to go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and get up at half past 4 to pray to protect myself and my family. But you see, the warfare is intensifying. That's why here many men of God and women of God know the word, Victor, have all fallen in sin, haven't they? So many of them. Don't take any chances. Stay close to the Holy Ghost. Learn how to pray. Every morning and every evening when I'm at home, when my wife takes over, pray for your children. The little that girl, 18-year-old girl Leah, who died of the drug, yes. You see, the parents said, we did everything, didn't they? Yeah, they did everything. I'll just suggest something, brethren. Read Psalm 91 with your family every day. Confess Psalm 91 with your family. Don't take any chances. Psalm 91 verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. That's a declaration, brother. He's declaring how God is. He's confessing, he's proclaiming. I will say, Victor, I will say. I will say who God is. I will say God is faithful. I will say God is loyal. I will say God is steady. I will say God loves me. I will say, I declare it. Openly. Psalm 91 verse 2, open declaration. I will say who God is. I will say, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. The Amplified Version says, I will learn to rely and trust Him confidently. I trust God. But how do you learn to trust God? Get to know Him. And then get to know Him, He will manifest steady and slowly the glory of God in your life. Okay. I used to work for the Inland Revenue. And one day God told me, I want you out of the job. Out of the job. You know what that means? That means you're going to learn to trust God confidently regarding your finances. We have been blessed more abundantly, exceedingly, overflowingly, ever since I left my job. Because when you're going to serve God, when you get a calling, and the calling is real and genuine, then you overflow. You know why? Spend hours and hours and hours praying and meditating and confessing and proclaiming and preaching the word. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to have an anointing in your life that will produce much fruit. and the anointing must move not only on your life, but everybody near around you. They must get affected. I like what Brother Benny says, you know, regarding the anointing of God, brethren. And it's in Psalm 89. When the anointing of God comes, he says seven things happens in your life. Seven things. And I trust him because I see the anointing of God operating in his life powerfully. He says the anointing of God comes. In Psalm 89, verse 20, with my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and my arm shall strengthen him. The first thing happens when the anointing of God strikes you is God will make you strong. I shall be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10. I will be strong in the Lord. When the anointing of God comes, my brother, you will be strong. You'll have no fear. One day, I was in a meeting. So after the meeting was over, it's quite dark. It was a town. I won't mention town in case you know which town I'm referring to. It was a town I've been before. So my wife and my children were in a hotel. I left the meeting on my own. So I said, I make my way back to the hotel. I didn't know nothing about this town. I've never been there before. So I decided to ask a few Christians to give me a lift. So the first car that came, I jumped into the car. I said, excuse me, can you give me a lift to the hotel? So he said, where did you stay? I said, yes, around there. And I'm pointing over there. It could be the wrong place. I'm just saying over there, you see. What happened was, he took me out of the wrong gate. And he dropped me there and went away. Complete darkness. No street lights. So I'm standing here, thinking now, where do I go? I could hear the Christians praising and worshipping God loudly. I was thinking, making my way towards where the noise is. But I got lost. Complete darkness. What do you do, Victor? Just a few weeks prior to that, and I read in the Sunday Times, a lady got brutally murdered, a Christian lady. And they only found the body a week later. The body was so mutilated, they had to get an artist's impression to form the shape of the woman. So all this, the devil tried to bring me all these stories there. So you're not going to see a wife, you're not going to see your children. I'm in complete darkness. I can't even find my way. So I saw some cars coming. They're coming from the camp. They're coming from this Christian meeting. I ran to them. Please, excuse me, I'm lost. So came near them. They went away. They thought I was going to do something to them. They were frightened of me. I thought I did something to them. They fled the scene. So I said, oh, that's when you will know how strong you are in the Lord. Or whether it's just an apple pie. You understand? Let's then we see how strong I am in Christ Jesus. So through the road, I said, Father, I can't see anything. The only way I could see the road was when the headlights, you know, the car, the main headlights, I could see where I was walking. I said, Father, I've never been in a situation like this now. What do I do? So I said, walk, and I said, walk, and I started praying. Shundra Bukola Bukunda. That's when you start praying, you see? That's when you prayer becomes genuine. Prayer really becomes real then. So I started praying. I could hear some voices. I was thinking, who are these people? What are they doing? What are these? I hear some voices. See, what are these people doing in the street in this complete darkness? And, you know, are they going to come towards me? And am I going to, you know, confess to anyone and say, Father, call for some angels quickly? Because they could do anything to me, you see. I was just by myself there. You know what? In this town, two guys come on a cycle in complete darkness, who happen to be guys of my own complexion. Tell me what they were doing there. I stopped them and said, excuse me, I said, I'm completely lost, I said. Please help me. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I came for this meeting here and I can't find my way there because it looks like a jungle around here. I don't know how to get to the camp. He said, don't go there, he said, you might get lost. Various things, I mentioned the hotel lamps. He said, look here, just come straight, turn to your left and walk straight down. I said, where did you get to hotel? I said, he says, I don't know. Just walk, he says, just walk. And I'm walking the main road, Victor, and the cars are hooting. I think, who is this crazy guy walking the main road? I tell you, it's a long story short, but I found my way to the job. And how glad I was to see my wife and children. How glad I was. But that shook me. It shook me. Gave me a couple of days to recover. One day we went to Ireland. We went for a charismatic meeting in Ireland. After the meeting was over, my friend, he said, Anjan, there are about 11,000 people there, 11,000. All the buses are full. You can't get a bus. My friend tells me, you know what? I'm going to pray for a car to stop. They'll give us a lift. I said, go ahead. I said, go. Your faith is very strong. Go ahead. I said, go ahead. I said, I'll just say amen to your prayer. Because it was an impossible task. But 11,000 people and ask a car to stop to give you a lift. So he waits there and he starts praying, you see. He starts praying. And this car comes along with two ladies in the car, two ladies. And they stop the car. And they said, where are you going to? He said, going to the town to catch a bus. Jump in, they said. So he got into the car. As they were driving along, I asked the lady, I said, do you give lifts to men? They said, no, 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 they said. You're two priests, aren't you? I said, you're not priests. They said, when you asked the car to stop, we saw two people in white cassocks. And that's why we stopped. If they will never give a lift to a man. You see, they found a way to the town. They got a bus and went back home. Psalm 91 says, angels of God encamp around you. That's why Betty Morse, you know, Betty Morse, lady who died, Betty Morse, she went up to heaven. You know what she did when she died? And she went to the shadow of death, the valley of death. A guardian angel was 6 foot tall, took her in. 6 foot tall giant. So when you and I are talking, there are angels all around us already. Ready for action, Victor. Ready for action. When you close your eyes, he will guide you towards heaven. You'll never be alone. You know, when my mom died, no, my sister was there in the hospital. Just before she died. And there I was. I was in a meeting, a tent meeting, with Pastor Bishop Jakes. You remember Bishop Jakes? Powerful preacher. So, at that moment, see, I came back from Malaysia. At that particular Sunday, I was feeling a bit discouraged, knowing what news I was going to get. So I decided to go for a meeting. So Bishop Jakes said, all of you stand up, he said. So we all stood up, you know. So I want you all to pray powerfully in the spirit. The lady beside me was a Nigerian lady, and I'm loud. She was very loud. She was louder than me. And I tell you, I needed that, brother. I needed that. As she was praying in the spirit, loudly laying hands on me, my mom was dying. I didn't know that. And my mom told my mom in Malaysia, my sister was in the room. She opened her eyes, smiled to my sister, wishing her goodbye. She closed her eyes and she died. And here I am, praying loudly, aggressively in the spirit. Same time this is going on. I went back home, and my wife wanted to call the police to get me. Thank God she didn't get the police. I said, she went and mom died. It was like an anesthetic. The Holy Ghost anesthetized me. I was comforted by the Holy Spirit at the camp meeting. And I was prepared for my mom's death. The next day hit me. With that particular moment, I did, you know, give my sister and my brother strong in the Lord. I had to encourage them. And that's what God will do to you, you see, in time of crisis. Some way or other, He'll send His people to strengthen you. He'll send angels to comfort you. I want to say to you, brethren, God is real.
Yes.
He's very, very real.
That's right.
God is very real. And He wants to manifest Himself to you all. So both our children, both Paul and Janine, they see God as a personal friend, a genuine friend. They, you know, for them, God is an ordinary person. They know Him well. They brought them up to know God well. So when my four-year-old girl goes to school, she tells the headmistress, Daddy has told me to become a champion. She makes a proclamation to the headmistress. Because it's normal talk. To become a champion is normal talk.
That's right. Normal talk.
My son, you know, when he went to school, the headmistress asked him, what does your father do? My father is a man of God. So what do you mean, man of God? Is he a teacher? No, he's a man of God. To the exile. The exile. So they go to Malaysia, I teach the Malaysians how to exile. Because the word of God, you see, when you speak it, when you utter it, when you proclaim it, it produces something. I tell you, I get excited, you know, when I see reports like this, brethren, coming, you know, Reynold Bonkey in Gospel Explosion in a 95% Muslim city. Yes, I tell you, get excited. In Dakar, Senegal,
That's right?
The Senegal government lays emphasis on freedom of religion, and our experience has proved it to be true. We have been invited again and again by Senegal churches. On arrival, I was treated like a state visitor. The Minister of the Interior welcomed me at the airport in the name of the state president. The president made a limousine, security officials and the police escort available to me for the whole length of my stay. You see, when you become an anointed man of God, whether the president is Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, they will recognize you.
That's right.
Where there's anointing, they'll call for you. Because they know who is anointed. So when they go to Malaysia, most of our airfare is paid for. That's why we can go there every year, Pastor Victor.
Glory.
Hearing me?
Glory.
Yeah. That's why we can go to Malaysia and Singapore every year. Because it's all paid for. Because they recognize the anointing. So I get blessed, my wife gets blessed, she comes home to me, and both our children get blessed too. They come along with us too. So you go as a family. So this is not reserved for Reynold Bonnke and all the great men of God. It's also for you and for me.
That's right.
So what happens here is, here's some facts and figures. Senegal has 8.5 million inhabitants. 1.8 million of them live in Dakar, the capital. Only 1% in 1,000 is Protestant, which means small numerical numbers. We preached to 70,000 people. 70,000. So, Betty Balt, the lady who died, she said, when you get to heaven, only one question, how many did you bring to the kingdom of God? How many did you preach to regarding the kingdom of God? You're going to leave a legacy behind you, brethren. A legacy of spiritual souls. So I tell my wife, you know, who is an evangelist herself, I'm going to keep on reminding her, everywhere you go, where you get an opportunity, proclaim the word, leave a track, leave a tape, leave a word. So what I do, I give all my tapes for free, brethren. Because you know why? You see, God is not going to be mocked. When you give us something free, he gives you abundantly back. You understand? God is not going to be mocked. So, you know, we have learned as a family, you see, to give and give and give and give and give and give. And he blesses back abundantly, exceedingly, and overflowingly. And the anointing increases. The presence of God manifests itself more. And the world will come towards you. I was a meeting in Malaysia. They asked the man, do you love Jesus? He said, I'm an Hindu. I said, come, I'll pray for you. And as he prayed for you, the Holy Ghost came. I said, what's happening to you? He said, my body's shaking. He says, I said, go back home and talk to Jesus. He said, I will. Because you see, The people, you know, who are religious, they want to experience God. you can preach and teach till that kingdom come. When there's no power, you're wasting your time. So then I give a testimony, you see. So I come at you and I say, Paul, I say, give a testimony. So Paul's lady is a bit shy. I say, tell him about how you won a scholarship. He is reaching out 37 books of the Bible in his own handwriting. He's only 10 years old. Our 4-year-old girl is beginning to write Psalms in her own handwriting. Prays consistently and stays humble. Stays humble and wins the scholarship. See, we got to it, brethren. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died a painful death, not only for salvation, but also for us to maintain an excellent spirit.
That's right.
You understand? So where the anointing is, where the body is, the eagles will gather, you see. Where there is anointing, where there is manna, where there is bread, they be drawn. They will be drawn. So wherever we go, our family, my family, must be a living testimony to the gospel. My mind must be fixed. My wife's mind must be fixed. Our children's mind must be fixed and stable. So prayer becomes natural and spontaneous. So as my dear brother Benin was saying, Psalm 89, remember, the first thing that happens to you is what? You become strong. Strong in the Lord. Okay? And then he says, in Psalm 89, verse 22, the enemy shall not outwit him, nor a son of wickedness afflict him. The second thing that happens to you when the anointing, the presence of God comes upon you is the devil will no longer afflict you. Because the anointing is Holy Ghost fire, you see. So when the devil comes near, he gets burnt. And he gets burnt. Okay, because the presence of God is so strong. He won't dare come near you. He'll flee in 7 different directions. Okay. The second thing happens when you get anointed is the devil will leave you alone. He won't waste his time on you. He'll try, but it won't work. But you be on your guard. We were in Malaysia just recently, now. A man comes up to me and tells me, can you please come to my home? He says, my wife is afflicted with 1,000 demons. I felt like taking a plane back to India. I mean, like this. He felt like taking an escape route. I went to his house. Very true, brethren. You know, I was sitting in the sofa, you know. I nearly fell asleep. And I remembered the scripture. Remember the scripture, Pastor? It's Matthew. Remember when Jesus asked the disciples to pray? Matthew 26, verse 43. You know what happened? Peter, remember the transfiguration. Peter said, let's build 3 tents. Peter said, let's build 3 tents in the glory days. Remember? Matthew 26, verse 43. You know what happened to them? Jesus. Matthew 26 verse 43. The same Peter and the apostles, my brother, you know, in the days of the transfiguration, remember they went to the mountain and Jesus transfigured. Peter said, let's build 3 tents. He got excited. But in time of crisis, what happened to him? They fell asleep. Matthew 26 verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now this lady's house, right? My eyes became heavy. tremendous demonic activity going on. I was falling asleep. I feel like closing my eyes and going to sleep in the house. And I got up and told my friend, let's pray now. Let's pray. Magnify you, worship you, adore you. Bless the name of Jesus Christ, yeah. Magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Adore the name of Jesus Christ, adore the name of Jesus Christ, Christ. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Father.
Holy Ghost.
We magnify. Yeah. We magnify.
Right.
We magnify.
That's right.
The name of Jesus of Nazareth.
That's right.
You wake up, you see. Arouse yourself when you sleep. To magnify the name. The lady never spoke a word. She never spoke a word. So I told my friend, he couldn't confess the word. You see, they'll come towards you, my brother, my sister, they'll come towards you. Because the world is crying for salvation, they're crying for deliverance. And all kinds of people will come towards you. I tell you, I can give you story after story. The number of people who come towards us to ask for help, you know. Accountants.
That's right.
Teachers.
That's right.
People have been to universities. A guy came in one day, a 6 foot 2 inches tall guy, and said, please help me. He said, but please don't tell this to anybody. He says, please help me. Have mercy upon me, Anton. I said, what's your problem? He said, sometimes such power comes upon me, a demonic power. I make holes in walls. I bash walls down, he says. Right? You've got to be strong in the Lord then, because you're fighting and bash you and thump a hole in your bosom. You understand? Please help me, Angel. Please help me. A teacher, a graduate from a university, and teaches children science and math. So the second thing happens to you, brethren, as you get anointed, is the devil will leave you alone. Psalm 89. The third thing that happens to you is Psalm 89 verse 23. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. The third thing is God himself will pull down the demons over your life. Okay, God himself will do it when the anointing comes. That's why pray for the anointing, work towards the anointing. Catherine Kuhlman, remember Catherine Kuhlman?
Yeah.
She said, no anointing, Father, I can't do anything.
Right.
The anointing, Father, the anointing, 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 the anointing. And she got anointed. Without the anointing, brethren, in this age you're living in now, you and I will not survive.
That's right.
It's getting too dismal. It's getting very dark. It's crisis after crisis after crisis. It's pain after pain after pain. It's fresh disease and new sicknesses every day. Doctors can't keep in place. Yes. Okay. We need to get anointed to keep the sickness and disease away from our bodies. The anointing will demolish every symptom. One day they take our son Paul, you know, to the doctor. And doctor said, I want him admitted. I said, doctor, please just give me a few hours. It was 5 in the evening. He said, just give me a few hours. I don't want, not that we don't believe in doctors, but if we can just try.